Imagine cracking open a state-of-the-art, modern Next.js codebase.
Oh boy.
Right, you're expecting to see the sleek, elegant future of web design. So you open the HTML, and instead it looks like a cat just walked across a keyboard in 1999.
It's terrifying.
It really is. It's this massive wall of messy inline abbreviations just stuffed into every single element, like PX4, PI2, BGBlue500, TextWhite. And your very first thought is likely a visceral, potent mix of confusion and, well,
Yeah,
revulsion.
you just think we have completely regressed.
Exactly. It just looks awful.
It's a massive culture shock, honestly.
Yeah.
Any veteran developer looking at modern styling for the first time has that exact defensive reaction.
Well, welcome to Module 14 of our deep dive into the modern web and DevOps landscape. I'm your host, and I'm here with our resident modern web expert.
Hey, everyone. Glad to be here for this one.
If you are tuning in, you are likely an experienced WordPress developer. You might be, 5, 10, maybe 15 years deep into PHP, MySQL, and traditional hosting environments.
You're way around a WordPress-themed directory blindfolded.
Totally. You are used to having your trusty style.css file sitting neatly in its folder, relying on partials, maybe compiling from SCSS, and relying on beautifully semantic class names like .siteheader or .entryContent.
The good old days, right?
Right. And our mission today is to validate your initial reaction to the modern front end. That wall of text really is ugly.
Very ugly.
But we are also going to prove why that ugly wall of text is actually the most efficient styling engine ever built. Tailwind CSS has definitively won the front-end styling war.
It's not even close anymore.
Yeah, and a tool built on top of it called Shacknuri has completely disrupted how we build component libraries. So we are going to translate exactly why and how this modern meta works entirely through the lens of the WordPress equivalents you already know.
And we're stripping away the hype. Because to understand why modern web development abandoned those traditional semantic style sheets, we really have to examine the pain points of the old document-driven mental model.
Okay, unpack that a bit. Document-driven.
Yeah, so we used to look at a web page as a single massive document. The style sheet was the master blueprint for that entire document.
Yeah.
And we just sort of accepted the friction that came with that as the cost of doing business.
I have to push back right out of the gate on this, though.
Go for it.
Because looking at a framework like Tailwind, throwing a dozen utility classes directly into the HTML completely violates the separation of concerns. Like, we have been taught this for over a decade.
The golden rule.
Content belongs in HTML, presentation belongs in CSS. That was absolute gospel.
It was, but the definition of a concern has fundamentally shifted.
What do you mean?
Well, in that old document model, we separated concerns by technology, right? We put all the structure in one file, the HTML, and all the paint in another file, the CSS.
Right. Which makes sense.
It did.
Yeah.
But in modern component-based development, which is what React and Next.js rely on, the component itself is the concern. A button's logical state, its structural markup, and its visual styling are intimately tied together. They function as a single unit now. So Tailwind introduces a utility-first CSS framework to match that.
Utility first, so instead of semantic naming.
Exactly. Instead of writing a semantic class name that describes what an element is, like button primary,
Right.
you compose styles in line by writing class names that describe what an element does.
So instead of naming the button, I am writing the padding, the background color, and the border radius directly onto the element itself.
Yes. And because you're writing it in line, you're actually looking at the exact same debate WordPress had 15 years ago.
Wait, really? When?
Think back to the early days of Bootstrap.
Oh, wow. Yeah. The era of grid classes like span4 and utilities like .pull_left.
Exactly. That was the original battleground between semantic CSS, where the style sheet describes the design, and utility classes, where you compose the layout right in the HTML.
I remember people arguing endlessly about whether pull left was evil or not.
Right. And WordPress culture primarily chose semantic naming. React culture chose utility classes.
Interesting.
Neither approach is inherently wrong, honestly. But the utility approach just happens to dovetail perfectly with modern component-based architecture.
Because the scope is smaller.
Precisely. In a React app, you read your code one component at a time rather than scanning across an entire global site structure. The markup is the single source of truth for that specific piece of the interface.
That actually reframes things significantly because in WordPress, a semantic class like entry meta could be hijacked by five different style sheets.
Oh, easily.
It depended on which page template was loading or, which plugins were active. It was a nightmare.
Exactly. But in a component model, the styling is hyper-localized. It only affects the component you're looking at. And this localization stops you from ever having to play the naming game again.
Oh my gosh, the naming game. The hours I've spent staring at a screen, agonizing over whether to call a custom class.cda.action.primary.button.button-primary or like bytebtn-cda.
It's exhausting, right?
Yeah, it really is.
With the utility framework, that cognitive load just disappears completely. You need a bit of padding. You type P4.
Just P4.
Yeah. You don't need to invent a semantic container just to hold a margin or a padding rule.
Okay. Skipping the naming game is a great quality of life improvement, but it doesn't quite explain the sheer dominance of this approach.
Fair point.
Like, how does typing a bunch of tiny classes actually improve the final code we ship to the browser? Because traditional style sheets, as beautiful as they were to read, they always ballooned over time.
Oh, they became massive.
Right. You add a new feature to a WordPress site, you add 100 lines of CSS. A year later, you remove the feature, but you never delete that CSS.
Never. Because we were all terrified that deleting a single rule would break a layout on some forgotten archive page.
Exactly. Don't touch it. It's load-bearing CSS.
That fear leads to massive files full of dead code. But Tailwind solves this by rethinking how the CSS is actually generated. It uses a just-in-time, or JIT, compiler.
Okay, so how does that work under the hood? Because for a WordPress developer used to PHP rendering on a server, a CSS compiler feels a bit like a black box.
Think of it as a remarkably fast text scanner.
Okay.
When you run your build process, Tailwind scans through all your raw PHP files, React components, and HTML templates. It reads them purely as flat text strings.
Just text. Not looking at the DOM.
Just text. It looks for any string that matches its utility names, like Flex or Text Center. It then generates a microscopic CSS file containing only the specific utility classes it found.
Wow.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter if you have 10 components or 10,000, because you are reusing the same finite set of utilities across the entire site, the CSS file literally stops growing.
So it plateaus.
Exactly. It usually caps out around 10 to 15 kilobytes.
10 to 15. That's incredible. But wait. If we have shrunk the CSS file down to just the raw, heavily reused utilities, if a developer has access to every utility under the sun, what stops them from going rogue?
Design consistency.
Yeah, because in the old days, a designer would hand over a beautiful Figma file, and 3 months later, the WordPress theme would have drifted entirely.
Yep.
We would have 6 different, slightly mismatched shades of blue and 14 different font sizes scattered across our CSS because developers were just eyeballing the design.
Totally. And this is where we move from performance into design system lockdown. Tailwind is less like a box of random Lego bricks and more like a highly restricted 3D printer.
I like that analogy.
You can print any shape you want, but you can only use the exact 4 colors of resin loaded into the machine. You configure your design system once.
Right.
And in the new Tailwind 4 that shipped recently, this configuration is actually CSS native.
Yeah.
You define your specific color palette, your mathematical spacing scale, and your exact breakpoints.
And those become the absolute hard boundaries for the entire project.
A developer literally cannot drift from the Figma tokens because the framework will not compile a class that doesn't exist.
Oh, so if it's not in the config, it just doesn't work.
Right. If your designer mandates spacing tokens of 4, 8, 12, and 16 pixels, you map those to your configuration. You cannot accidentally write a utility class for a 13-pixel margin. It will fail.
Mm-hmm.
The system enforces visual discipline at the compiler level.
Let's tie this directly back to the WordPress ecosystem. We have custom Gutenberg blocks, which are essentially React components running under the hood.
Right, they are.
And Tailwind is to CSS what Gutenberg's block library is to old page builder shortcodes, right?
Yeah.
They are both opinionated primitives that you can compose into absolutely anything.
That's a perfect analogy because shipping a custom Gutenberg block with bespoke vanilla CSS often turns into a nightmare. You have to fight to make it look identical inside the editor and on the public front end.
It never looks the same.
Never. Utilizing Tailwind inside your custom block development dramatically reduces that friction. It brings the visual architecture of your specific WordPress blocks completely in line with how the rest of the modern web is being styled.
There is another massive variable we have to introduce here, though. Something that nobody was factoring in even just 3 years ago.
Let me guess. AI.
Yes. The way the specific syntax interacts with AI development tools, the productivity difference is staggering.
It really is night and day.
I've tried asking an AI agent to write traditional WordPress theme CSS based on a visual design. It hallucinates wildly.
Oh, it makes up so much garbage.
It invents semantic class names that don't exist in my project. It uses random hex codes, and the logic is just a nightmare to review. Why does an AI struggle so much with our old way of doing things?
Well, because there's no universal logic to semantic naming. Millions of developers have invented millions of different ways to name a hero section.
Hero wrapper, .hero container, .hero inner.
Exactly. The AI is essentially just guessing your personal preference. But if you ask that same AI to generate Tailwind markup, the accuracy skyrockets to around 90% on the first try.
That's wild. Why is it so much better?
The utility class names are short, the patterns are aggressively standardized, and the AI was trained on millions of repositories using the exact same restricted vocabulary.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, the constraints of the framework actually prevent the AI from hallucinating arbitrary rules. It is the optimal language for machine generation.
Okay, so Tailwind gives us these incredibly powerful, constrained building blocks. We have a tiny CSS file and AI acting as an accelerator.
Yeah.
But if we pull back, I don't want to build a complex, accessible, interactive data table or a modal window from scratch, utility class by utility class.
No, nobody does.
Right. In WordPress, if we need complex UI, we usually just install a robust third-party plugin and call it a day.
Yeah.
If we aren't relying on massive plugins anymore in this modern stack, how do I build complex components quickly without reinventing the wheel?
To understand the modern solution, you have to look at how the React ecosystem historically tried to solve this.
Okay.
They used massive design systems like Material UI or Chakra. And for a WordPress developer, these functioned very much like heavy, monolithic plugins.
So huge dependencies.
Exactly. You install them as a package manager dependency, you imported their pre-built components into your code, and you just lived with their specific API forever.
What does living with their API look like in a React context? Because in WordPress, if a plugin restricts me, I can usually just write a custom PHP filter or an action hook to force it to do what I want.
Well, in React, you don't have filters. You're entirely restricted by props, which are the specific settings and variables the original developer decided to expose to you.
Oh, so if they didn't think of it, you're out of luck.
Exactly. If the creators of Material UI didn't anticipate that your specific client would want a very bizarre custom hover animation on a drop-down menu, there was no setting for it.
You are suddenly trapped.
You're trapped. You have to write messy, fragile override code just to force the component to bend to your will.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, you are shipping the entire massive library to your user's browser, just ballooning your load times.
So we want the speed of a pre-built library, but we need the ultimate flexibility of writing it ourselves from scratch.
Yes. And that tension is exactly what a tool called ShadNui solved. And it is why it completely consumed the React component market in record time.
How does it work?
It flipped the delivery mechanism.
Oh.
ShadNui is not a package or a dependency you install. It is a command line interface tool.
A CLI tool. Okay.
When you need a complex modal component, you run a command in your terminal. The tool reaches out to the internet, grabs the raw underlying source code for that modal, and physically copies the file directly into your local project folder.
Oh, wow. So using a WordPress parallel, if traditional component libraries like Material UI are massive, rigid plugins that lock you into their ecosystem,
right,
then ShadNui is essentially a starter theme for your React components.
Yes, that's exactly it.
It gives you a working, incredibly robust template that you fully own. You can open the file and tear it apart rather than just blindly calling a function from a third-party library.
You own the actual code.
Yeah.
And crucially, these aren't just empty visual shells. The components that ShadNui copies into your project are built on top of another project called Radix UI.
Radix UI, what does that do?
Radix handles the invisible, agonizingly complex plumbing of the web. It provides unstyled, fundamentally accessible component primitives.
So the hard accessibility work is already done.
The hardest work. Out of the box, the modal that Shadesick and dropped into your folder has flawless keyboard navigation trap loops, screen reader announcements, and focus management.
That is huge. Getting focus traps right is awful.
It's the worst. But with this, you get the world-class accessibility of Radix, styled seamlessly with the constraints of Tailwind, delivered directly into your local folder where you have ultimate control.
It's the undeniable default for a reason. If you look at any modern Next.js starter kit today, they almost uniformly rely on Tailwind and ShadNui.
They absolutely do.
But we are developer to developer here. We know no stack is a silver bullet. Where does this specific architecture actually cause headaches? Let's cut through the hype.
The trade-offs are significant, and they stem directly from the choices we just praised.
Well, my immediate red flag is the copy-paste mechanism of ShadTune.
Yep, the manual updates.
Right. If the source code for a button now lives entirely in my own project folder, how on earth do I handle security updates or bug fixes? In WordPress, I just click a button in the dashboard to update a plugin and get the patch.
You lose that one-click convenience entirely.
I was afraid of that.
Because you own the code, updates are a manual chore. If the Shansian team releases an improvement to a component, you have to run the CLI command again. It will overwrite your local file with the new version.
Which wipes out my custom changes.
Exactly. You then have to use your Git version control history to manually reapply whatever custom logic or styling you had previously added.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're trading maintenance convenience for absolute unconstrained control.
That sounds like a serious maintenance overhead for a large project.
What about the tailwind side? Let's address the sheer verbosity of the HTML.
The wall of text.
The wall of text. I have looked at production code where the list of utility classes on a single drop-down menu wraps to three or four lines of text in the editor.
The verbosity is real, and it creates a very specific trap that developers fall into. What's the trap?
Tailwind includes a feature called the add-apply directive. It allows you to take a long string of utility classes and extract them backward into a traditional custom CSS class in your style sheet.
Oh, so I can just recreate .btn-primary, dump all the tailwind abbreviations inside it, and hide the mess from my HTML.
You absolutely must resist that temptation.
Wait, why? That sounds like the perfect fix.
Because using add apply just to visually clean up your markup completely destroys the underlying architecture we just built.
Oh, cool.
Think about it. It forces you to start agonizing over semantic names again. .btn-primary is back.
Right.
It bloats your CSS file because you were generating new custom rules instead of reusing utilities. And it ruins the JIT compiler's performance.
Ah, I see.
You have to accept that long class lists happen. That verbosity is just the tax you pay to guarantee a tiny performance CSS bundle.
Okay, that makes sense. You just have to live with the ugly HTML. Another potential trap I'm wondering about, dark mode. Everyone expects a dark mode toggle now.
Oh, yeah.
And Tailwind makes it look deceptively simple. You just add a dark prefix to any utility like dark.bg-black, and the element changes color when dark mode is active.
We call that the dark mode deception.
Deception.
Yeah. The framework provides the technical toggle, allowing you to switch states easily. But the actual design work required to make a cohesive dark interface is immense.
Right, because you have to actually pick all the dark colors.
Exactly. You cannot just slap dark.
Yeah.
Prefixes randomly across a project. You need a comprehensive dual palette design system mapped out by a professional where every shade of gray has a specific accessible counterpart.
So the technical ease masks the design complexity.
Perfectly stated.
Finally, as WordPress developers, we are used to migrating sites gradually. We might have some old CSS partials running alongside a new block theme. Can we mix and match with this modern stack?
Mixing Tailwind with older React styling methodologies like CSS modules or older CSS and JS libraries is how you build a Frankenstein code base.
Frankenstein code base. Sounds bad.
It's terrible. They rely on fundamentally opposed mental models regarding how styles cascade and override one another. You have to pick one architectural approach per project and commit to it completely.
Or else?
Or the project becomes impossible to debug.
Which brings us full circle to where we began. The visceral reaction, the feeling of revulsion when you first open a modern component and see that massive wall of classes.
It is a reaction that will fade. The community refers to it as the two-week rule.
The two-week rule.
Yeah. New developers, especially those who spent years perfecting elegant semantic CSS, will recoil at Tailwind. But if you commit to it, after exactly 2 weeks of actively writing utility classes, your brain adapts.
Really? Just 2 weeks?
Just 2 weeks. The markup starts to read normally, the visual noise fades into the background, and the massive advantages, the compiler speed, the lack of context switching between files,
yeah,
the absolute design consistency, they become the only things you care about.
You just have to push through the initial culture shock. So, as you wrap up Module 14, let's look at the overarching journey. Stepping out of traditional WordPress styling and into the modern meta means trading the cozy, familiar comfort of semantic style sheets for an architecture designed purely for scale.
It's a big leap, but a necessary one.
You are leveraging a system perfectly suited for AI generation and lockdown design constraints. And by adopting Shegnui, you are walking away from bloated, restrictive plugins in favor of owning your own deeply accessible component primitives.
It is a total paradigm shift from managing global documents to engineering isolated components.
And that leaves us with a somewhat provocative thought for you to carry forward.
Let's hear it.
If utility frameworks, copy-paste primitives, and AI generators effectively solve the granular problem of translating a visual design into functional markup, does the core value of a front-end developer fundamentally shift?
Ooh, that's a big question.
Right. If the tools are handling the paint, does our entire job move away from styling and pivot entirely toward complex logic, managing data state, and architecting deep accessibility?
It really is the defining question for the next era of development. The styling problem has largely been solved. The value is now in the plumbing.
It is something to keep in the back of your mind as you start getting your hands dirty in the code. And speaking of plumbing, that sets us up perfectly for our next module.
Which is going to be a fun one.
Oh, absolutely. We are going to tie this modern React stack directly back to your primary ecosystem by exploring headless WordPress.
Finally bringing it all home.
Yep. We will look at what it actually entails, when it fundamentally makes sense to decouple a site, ignoring all the hype, and how to approach a hybrid project where you have WordPress running the database backend and this Next.js and Tailwind stack driving the front.
It is the intersection where your existing expertise meets everything we just covered.
Until then, keep experimenting, trust the two-week rule, and don't panic when you open a directory and can't find that style.css file. It's gone, but the wall of classes really does get better. Keep coding, and we will catch you in the next deep dive.